Welcome to the Quiet Battles podcast. On this podcast, we seek to give a voice to the battles that Christians are quietly fighting in the background.
In today's episode, Jack and I are going to sit down for a two-part interview with our friend Dwayne Howard. But before we get into that, I'm just going to hand it over to Jack here for a little bit, introduce you to Dwayne, and we'll move on from there. So Jack, I hand it over to you, man.
Yeah, Dwayne, I've known him for about 6 years now. We both went to Johnson University, Florida together, met my junior year in the first semester. He was playing on the basketball team. I had just stopped playing on the basketball team, but I think we met probably playing basketball and kind of developed a friendship from there. Dwayne even still thanks me. There was one summer that he was at the college and I was at the college, and I started helping him with his shooting form, and he thanks me for that. But I was just trying to get a workout in because I was putting the marriage pounds on. So we became friends. I think that summer we became close friends. So yeah, he's a great guy. I'm really looking forward to this interview. I think he has some insight, and I think God's been working on him a lot in the last year. And Dwayne, I'm just super excited to have you on this podcast, and I appreciate your friendship, and I'm looking forward to this interview. Could you just tell our listeners what you've been up to? I mean, you graduated from Johnson University, Florida, back a couple of years now. And where's Dwayne now?
Yeah. First, thank you guys for having me. This is really cool. I'm going to tell you guys that as well, but this is really cool what you guys are doing. Just kind of giving us a voice and letting us know how close we really are, because everyone has a quiet battle. So, thank you for wanting to listen to mine. So I graduated 2017. I feel like it's been a wild ride since. I was trying to play basketball internationally overseas, and I ended up breaking my thumb. I think in August of 2017, I broke my thumb, and I had a pin in my thumb for like 9 weeks. So I wasn't playing basketball, and then trying to come back to it, it just wasn't the same. and even now, like, as I'm not playing anymore, I realize like I didn't love the game as much as I thought I did, not enough to go and play it. But now I'm a teacher. I'm a high school teacher here in Orlando at Wakaiba High School. I'm a tech and business ed teacher. I love it. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's stressful. We don't get paid enough, but it's fun though. The perks outside of the money are just, I mean, you can't beat it. And I'm also a basketball coach too. I just finished up my third year as a basketball coach, and I love that just as much. I've always been pretty passionate about the youth. So just being able to be around them all the time is, I don't know, it's a blessing. It's real cool. Yeah. Again, it has a lot of perks. One of the biggest ones, I don't mean to ramble, but I'm definitely going to ramble this entire interview, just giving you guys a heads up. One of the benefits, though, is that it forces me to be a better person, like all the way around, because I always know that somebody's watching. And that's helped me out a lot as well, because that's forced me to reflect a lot on myself and think about like some of the decisions that I've made and how I make decisions and just everything. It's just, I don't know, it's a blessing just to be in this position. So that's what I've been doing since. I've been being blessed.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, thinking about that, it's actually important that you know that you're influencing youth, because most people, I would say our age, aren't even thinking about who we're influencing. We're just thinking about us and where we're going. And so I think that's really cool that you're focused on that. You know your impact you're having on the youth. I'm sure Wakaiba High School enjoys having you, even though I know – teachers never make enough money for their efforts and coaches make even less. So I wanted to ask, when we had this conversation probably 2 weeks ago, and you told me that you had COVID, and starting with COVID, you had this transformation. Like it started with COVID, but you had this, God kind of transformed you. And you made some decisions in your life because of that, but it all started with COVID, and that's what I want to start with today. So can you tell us about your COVID experience?
Yeah, this is the one, this is the story, man. This is, a good story too. So me and my then girlfriend, my wife now, we both had COVID. We caught COVID back in June. Yeah, it was June of 2020. And I mean, we were going through it. I went through it a lot worse than she did, thank God. But I mean, it was terrible. I mean, you know, just chills, fever, fatigue, like crazy. Couldn't even walk the dog, like a lot of the times. It was wild. Couldn't taste, couldn't smell, I just really couldn't do anything. And it was kind of similar for her. I had it for 4 weeks. She had it for about 2 weeks. Now during that time, I mean, it was a struggle because, I mean, this is the first time in my life where I can't taste whatever I'm drinking or eating or smell whatever it is I'm trying to smell. But like, it took forever for me to get my smell back. It was like 3 months. So for like 3 months, I didn't even know what our apartment smelled like. It was wild. But during that time, it was wild. During that time, we just didn't know where we were. I know for me specifically, my head was like in such a haze, like a fog, I guess I should say. I wasn't even sure if I was dead. I wasn't sure if I was alive at one point because, like, again, like, this is the first time I can't taste anything, can't smell anything. So it's like, I don't know what's going on. Like 3 days straight, I really questioned, like, you know, all right, what's my status? What's my status? And during that time, I mean, I felt like we had nothing. So I can't remember how it happened, but there is a church back in Jacksonville that I used to go to when I was younger. The church is called Impact Church now. But it used to be called Faith Christian Center, I believe. And the pastor is Bishop Davis. And he does a great job. I don't remember how it happened, but one day we just kind of logged on online because obviously we couldn't go anywhere. So we logged on and we listened to the sermon, and he was talking about how they were going to go through a fast. And we decided to kind of just jump in and go for it. Now, a few days before that, I remember this specifically, a few days before that sermon, we really started digging into like reading the Bible. So like me as like a Johnson student, or a former Johnson student, a Johnson graduate, I should say. Hello. We're reading, and I'm just starting to remember, like, okay, like, Johnson taught me how to interpret the Bible. Johnson taught me how to read this. Johnson taught me how to understand this. And my wife, she had gone to a Catholic school, but she's not Catholic. She went there just to play basketball, really. But she had gone to a Catholic school, and they didn't really teach her how to interpret the Bible. So I still, it's wild stuff, man. I still had like my notes and stuff from like Hardin's class. And I still have my notes from Kendi's class. And I still have my notes from Gordon, Dr. Joseph Gordon. First of all, those three teachers are all amazing. Dr. Joseph Gordon, he was the most boring teacher, but the most knowledgeable teacher I think I've ever like encountered in my entire life. Like the entire class was just him speaking in one monotone voice, and like, I don't know, it was so uncaptivating, but like everything that he was saying, like, I don't know, I just loved it. And I also loved the fact too that like every time I left one of his classes, my head always hurt, because it's like, how am I supposed to understand this? Like, I don't get anything that he's talking about from the Bible. Like, the Bible is making no sense right now. This is such a challenge. But me being challenged, I just always went back and wanted to learn more. But anyways, I still have my notes from his class, so it was kind of cool to be able to pull out my notes as we're going through this time of COVID, like where we're just broken. It was cool to be able to pull out my notes and then kind of just lead my girlfriend at the time and just lead her to like understanding the word, and then like kind of forcing myself to dive back into it too. Because also at this time, or before this, we didn't really have the time or the want really to just sit there and read the Bible. I mean, we prayed, we talked about God, but it was kind of that halfway in, halfway out type of thing, the way that we were kind of doing it. So, so COVID comes, a couple of days of reading the Bible, we stumble across this online service, And they're doing a fast. And we said, you know what? Hey, let's just go ahead and go. So we decided to fast. And that was tough, but it was probably the best decision that I think that we could have made for ourselves. So the fast, it wasn't like, oh, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. He did a great job of explaining what it was, what the purpose of it was. He didn't lay out any like limitations. It was whatever is keeping you from hearing God, go ahead and cut that out for 21 days and see what he does in your life. So for us, it's like, I mean, all right, we don't got nothing to lose. I mean, we got COVID. We're not even sure if we're alive right now. Like, let's just go ahead and get into it. And then we did. And it was like week by week, like God was just moving. It was like, oh, snap. Did you see this? Like, and then the next week, like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Like, then the next week, like, oh, my gosh, this is wild. But, yeah, some of the things that we fasted from, actually, I'll tell you everything that we fasted from. So we smoked. I mean, we were at home. We were bored. It was like, all right, well, we don't have nothing else to do. So we smoked. We fasted from smoking. We just cut out smoking. We fasted from sex because we lived together. We had our own apartment. So it was like, I mean, whatever. We just went ahead and cut that out. I'm trying to think of what else. Those were the two biggest things that we cut out. I can't remember. Oh, candy. I'm big on candy. But cutting out the large amounts of sugar that I was getting into my body was really good too. But those three things right there, I'm not sure if those things kept me from hearing God's voice or not. But one thing I do know is that like just going through that fast for those 21 days, man, he worked. He worked, and he gave us a story. And that's what I think is like super cool. Out of that fast though, we ended up getting married at the end of the 21 days. Cause it was like, we were like, all right, we can't just go back to like having premarital sex, but also too, we were able to understand, like we were loving each other the wrong way. Like we had very, very strong feelings for each other. We knew we were going to be with each other for forever, as we say. But we were doing it the wrong way. We weren't really carrying on a love that was representative of God. But we also weren't carrying on a love that would sustain. It just wasn't the right way to do things. We had been together, or been involved with each other for some time. But again, we kind of knew like, you know, like, what are we doing? We're living the wrong way. Let's just go ahead and live the right way. And then God made it happen. So he blessed us with a marriage and he just blessed us like all the way around. It was total life transformation for sure.
So Dwayne, when you're doing this 21 day fast, was there a day specifically, did a couple of days have to go by for you guys to start thinking like, wow, maybe we should get married? Or when did the clarity come? When did you feel like God was like, you need to get married? Was it after the 21 days? You're like, okay, we got to do this. Was it in the middle? When did you know?
Man, maybe somewhere in the middle. All right. So we ended up getting a car. And the thing is, I'll never forget it. It was a Saturday and we were like we knew we needed to go out and like look for cars. You know, it's like we're preparing for the car shopping process. So it was a Saturday. I went and played basketball like right beforehand. I came back, showered up, and it's like, yep, this is what we're doing today. We're going and getting the car today. Or we're going and starting to look for a car. So we set up some appointments or whatever. And right before we left the house, now this is a week into the fast. Right before we left the house, I was like, man, you know how crazy it would be that if we like left with no car, because we didn't take any money with us, but then came back with a new car. But the way that God was moving, like in those first 7 days, it was like, I mean, at that point, anything was possible. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, it's crazy to think that like that could happen. But at the same time, like, well, God's consistent and it could happen. So then like that same Saturday, like we went out and like we're test driving the car and we're like, I don't know. I mean, this is like too good, but there's no way like this isn't going to be the one for us. And sure enough, it was the one for us. Like we prayed in the dealership, in the middle of the dealership. Crazy. Your faith like grows through fast. Like you'll pray anywhere. It doesn't matter who's looking, who's watching or whatever. Like if you want God to move, you'll do what it takes. And we just pray that, you know, if it was his will, like, let it be done. And sure enough, like, it got done. So, like, it was funny because, like, that same day we were like, oh, we're not sure if we're going to get a car. Like, how funny would it be? Like, oh, yeah, it was funny, all right. And we came home with a car. And then that next week we had went, like, I think to, like, the outlets or something like that. And we had went to Nike first because I'm a big Nike guy. So we had gone to Nike first, went to the Nike store, and she wanted to go into Victoria's Secret. So I got what I want. And it's like, all right, well, you got to get what you want now. So we walk into Victoria's Secret, and she gets whatever she gets. And then, of course, like, okay, the jewelry store is, like, right next door. So it's like, all right, well, I guess we got to go in here. So we walked in, and we're looking at rings. And, I mean, we kind of already figured, like, yeah, like, we should probably be looking at rings, too, because we kind of know, like, all right, we're serious about each other, especially
this is after making the 21-day fast. Like, this is after.
No, this is all during the 21-day fast.
This is during the 21-day, okay.
Yep. The car was, like, 7 days into the fast.
Okay.
Yeah, the car was 7 days into the fast. And then the idea of getting married happened 14 days within the fast. Mm. So we were in the store, and I'm like, man, my credit's not good enough for da-da-da-da, whatever. So we're just talking about, like, what it is that she wanted and stuff like that. Now, I'll never forget, like, we didn't have an argument, but we definitely had a discussion, a long discussion about why she wanted what she wanted. And then about why I wanted what I wanted, too. And one thing that we realized is, like, man, we're very materialistic. Like, for broke people with no money, like, we're walking in the stores wanting the most expensive things. Like, yeah, we know God's moving, but at the same time, like, we shouldn't be focusing on this stuff. We need to be okay with, like, you know what I'm saying? We need to be content and okay with not having the newest and latest and greatest and this and that. And we got to do a better job of switching our focus. And that was the conversation that we had. And then God approved us. Well, he approved me for, like, something that I swore I would not be able to afford. So I ended up getting there was a ring that she had picked out, and I ended up getting, like, something like 10 times better than that, because that's what I was approved for, all by the grace of God. So then I went ahead and got it, and it was like, you know, like, I think we need to come out of this fast married. Like we're changing, but, like, we don't need to go back and live halfway again. Like, if we're going to do this, we need to do this the right way. It wasn't on a whim or anything like that. Like, we were already talking about it before. I had mentioned it before, but it was just like, I don't know. I guess we brought God in it and focused on God, and then he was the one that kind of made it happen. So we got engaged, like, I got the ring on a Wednesday. Oh, she picked out the rings on, like, a Saturday or a Friday or something like that. And then I went and picked the rings up on a Wednesday, and I proposed to her on a Wednesday. And then we went out and got married in Melbourne on that following Friday. So the same week, like, Wednesday, boom, we're engaged, and then Friday, we're married. And our big thing was, like a bunch of our family members can't come anyway, so what's the point of waiting around being engaged, telling people 365 days, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just went ahead and decided to get married. So we did have a nice small wedding. Out in Melbourne. It wasn't anything crazy, just enough to be married in front of our close friends and family. And yeah, so we did it, and we've been growing ever since, I guess.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is really cool. Yeah. And kind of diving back into the fast itself, it seems like, I mean, from what you're saying, all these good things came from it. And I guess from my experience, what I've seen is when God is doing all of these really good things, the enemy wants to pull us back into our old ways. Was there at any point during that 21-day fast where you were like, are we doing the right thing? And, or the enemy's like throwing stuff at you and making you kind of second guess what's going on? And if so, when do you think that started? Was it, like, right away, as soon as you started this fast, like, halfway through, or what?
Man, that's a good question. Goodness, Ronnie, you must have went to Johnson or something. Had to have gone. They taught you how to give good questions. So I would say that I think before the fast, to be honest, I feel like we were pushed into this corner before the fast. So, of course, like the start of the summer, you have everything going on with George Floyd and everything with police brutality in general. And that kind of, I don't know, that put us in a crazy space mentally, because it's like, man, we don't even know what's going to happen if we step outside. Anything could happen to us. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of living in fear for a long time. And it wasn't like we weren't going outside. It was like, yeah, we're going outside, but like, we're going to make sure like we're ready to protect ourselves. And that's not a way to live. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you just want to go and check the mail, but you got to be ready to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Just living in fear and always worrying and just being anxious and being so angry at the world, because like, how could the world do this to us? There was no God in it. Mm. There was no God in it. So then like we catch COVID and it's like, we just feel like we're at this point where like, we're just pushed towards God. I think that was one of those like those moments where it was like the enemy was just attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking. But then like during the fast, I guess I left this part out, and this is like a very important part. So during the fast, every morning I would wake up around 4 and just read. Like I would step on the porch just to try and get away from the house without actually getting away from the house. Mm-hmm. I would step on the porch and I would just start reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that the first book that I read in the Bible was Proverbs. Mm-hmm. It's filled with wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know, all right, this is great. Like I'm becoming wiser. Let me learn about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So then I just started focusing in on the Gospels. And every morning, that's what I would do. So I would read like 4 chapters. And kind of just like sit, meditate on what I just read. How can I apply this? This is what I'm supposed to be showing. How can I do this? And then I would pray. I would listen to some praise and worship as well. This is a cool thing too, because like, you know, when you decide to give your life to Jesus, that's not like an emotional moment or anything like that. Like that's just a choice that you made. But when you commit to it, like there were so many moments where like I'm on the porch and it's 4:35. And I'm just out on the porch and I've got my hands up and I'm crying. I'm like, oh God, like, you know, just like singing the songs and stuff like that. And it's, I don't know, just having those experiences kind of drowned out any attacks really. Mm-hmm. Now there were some instances, like people would like reach out to me and they would ask me to do stuff that I used to do, mm-hmm. but I had no problem with saying like, nah, I'm good on that. And I had no problem with doing it early on too. Like, I'm not going to flirt with it or anything like that. Mm. It's like when we jumped into the fast, it was like, yeah, I'm committed to like actually changing my life. Okay. Especially once we realized like, yeah, he's moving. Mm. Like, we can't give up now. Like, come on, 21 days. Like, let's see what we can get. So, there were definitely moments, but there was nothing. I don't know. I would like to say that I was so committed, mm-hmm. that it just didn't happen. But to be honest with you, by the grace of God, he made my focus just be on him. So that I can't even really remember any instances where it was like, yeah, the devil's just, he's attacking right here within the fast.
It sounds like you're saying it was one of those stories where it's like leading up to it, the enemy's trying to just keep pulling you in. But it's one of those instances where it's like, what the enemy meant for evil, God is using it for good.
Yeah.
And it was everything that you're saying, like going on in America at that time. You're just like, I mean, understandably so, full of the fear. You're like, I got to protect myself. I go outside. You get the COVID. You're backed into that corner. And at a certain point, it's like, oh, it looks like the enemy's going to win this battle. But then out of nowhere, you log in, you see that stuff at the church in Jacksonville. And God takes it and turns it around and uses it for good.
But it's so important to realize this. See, Dwayne, there's a quote by Foster, which I believe it's Richard Foster. And he says, so many American Christians try to change by willpower. instead of by training. And what you were doing was training. Like you were reading, like you were praying, like you were fasting, you were worshiping. Like you were doing the spiritual disciplines. And when you're in that headspace, you're in that transformation space. Mm-hmm. And it's safe to say you weren't doing those things before this fast. Like you were not submitting. Like I could probably put down, like you were doing like 5 or 6 spiritual disciplines. Like you were training in the Lord. And it's like when you're training, you're able to compete better. As a basketball player, you know, when you put 500 shots up, that when it's time for the game, like you can shoot 50% because you put in the work. And that's what I've seen in this entire fast. And even having conversations with you, because I had a conversation with you before the fast. And now I had a conversation with you after the fast. And I could just see you as a different person. And even though the context was not saying that the first conversation was wrong, but it was just just who you were. Like I could just tell, like, oh wow, like this is Dwayne's a little different. And it's because you had been training. And that's amazing to see that. And I also wanted to ask you, do you have more joy now and more peace than you did before?
Yeah, definitely. I think before, like, my entire happiness always relied on like what other people thought of me, I guess. Whereas now it's like I know who I am. But the best thing about it all is the fact that like I've submitted myself to Christ, and He's using me, because like now I have a story that I can go and tell other people, or He's using me just through, I mean, I don't know, even the way that I make decisions now. You know what I'm saying? Like we were talking earlier. I can't remember if it was before we started recording or after we started recording. We were talking about like the benefits of, we were talking about the benefits of being a teacher, because you have to watch all of your decisions.
Yeah.
And like just being a teacher alone, like I've got 200 students and they all get to watch like my actions. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So who is it that I'm acting like to these 200 students, you know? And man, God's just been moving. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but God has really just been moving. Every day I ask Him, you know, Lord, just I submit myself to You. I'm gonna only allow me to do the things that You want me to do. Reveal Your glory to other people through me, through my actions. So the fact that it's happening, that's what's giving me joy. That's what's giving me happiness. That's what's giving me the peace. And then just seeing the way that He's blessing me, the way that He's blessing me, just knowing that He's working for me, like, I don't know, it's a lot better now. I'm not anxious and worrisome and nervous and all these different things. I'm just, I don't know, man. This is different.
Yeah.
It's different for sure.
Dwayne, there are people in your shoes that were in your shoes right now. They're living with their girlfriend or living with their boyfriend. They're smoking and they're eating too much sugar.
So, by the way, which one of those do you think was the hardest to give up?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question. Probably the, to be honest with you, probably the sugar. Mm-hmm. And I say that because before the fast started, we just knew we needed to change. Something needed to change. We just didn't know really the way to go about doing it. So it was like, oh, this is the way that we need to stop doing this. Oh, that's easy. Let's go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go ahead and cut it out. With the smoking thing, it was like, well, I want to understand God a little bit more. I want to understand Him better. I need to be sober-minded. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you're balancing the two between like being sober and understanding what God is trying to say to you, I mean, it's like, obviously we know which one is going to win. So to be real, the sugar was probably the hardest one. Mm-hmm. I got a big sweet tooth. I got a terrible sweet tooth. Like it's so bad. Matter of fact, like I'm taking a break from candy right now. But yeah, the candy was the hardest one. The sugar, that was the hardest one.
So, and that's a good point in general, if there's anything to help you take that next step. If it's sugar, if it's alcohol, if it's, I don't know, if it's carbohydrates, whatever it may be, to get you in that headspace. So someone's in your shoes right now, where you were, and they're living with their significant other, they're smoking, they have some bad habits that are blocking their headspace. What would you say to that person? Like, what would you tell them if you could have this moment with them? Like, what would you tell them?
So that's a good question. I actually lead this small group on Saturdays. It started out with, I'm leading it, and it's my varsity point guard and then the JV point guard. Every Saturday we'll talk about whatever the verses of the day throughout the week was. So we're talking about five verses, and we're kind of just breaking them down and just talking through them. But the biggest thing that I always talk about is like to be willing. Oh, the small group is growing, but I forgot to mention that part. The small group has grown outside of our school now, which is pretty cool. It doesn't have like 1,000 people or anything like that, but more people are hearing the good news. So that's the most important thing.
Amazing.
But the thing that I try and like emphasize to them is the same thing that I would try and emphasize to anybody that's in my shoes right now. And I guess that would be to be willing, because he's willing. Like if you obviously you guys do read through the Bible, but Jesus is always willing, like always willing. It's always us. We're the ones that have to make that choice. And a lot of times, like, I think for us, to be real with you, had I not gone through the experiences that we went through this past summer, I don't think that I would be in this position. I don't think that I didn't go through anything that made, had I not gone through those things, I wouldn't have gone through anything that would have made me willing. I would still be living like halfway in, halfway out, where I'm praying and yeah, I know Jesus is there. And I don't want to say I'm faking it, but I'm not really truly understanding it, because it's definitely different now. Like when I was at Johnson, I was a believer. I've always been a believer, to be honest with you. But now it's like different. Like I'm living in it, you know what I'm saying? And actually living it in totality, or at least I try to every day. I'm willing. But yeah, that's what I would say. Like, be willing. Be willing to listen and do what it takes to listen. And be willing to change. And be willing to go through some hard times, because it's a lot of hard decisions you're going to have to make if you decide to commit, you know, to the Lord. So just be willing, I guess. I mean, if you really want to better yourself and better your life, you got to be willing. I guess that's what it would be.
Yeah. And Dwayne, I want to ask another question, and we're coming close to the end of this interview, but those decisions you made, two of them were individual decisions. I'm going to give up sugar. I'm going to give up smoking. But the third one affected two parties. Yeah. What? This is a hard question to ask. What do you do when that party is not willing?
Man. I'm glad that I'm the male of mine and my wife's relationship. And I say that only because, and you guys know, because you guys have been married for a lot longer than I have, but we're the leaders of our relationships. So like wherever my relationship was in the past, like I can't even blame my wife for where it was, because like I was the one that allowed it to get there. That's where I led us to. So and this is one of the things where I say, like, yeah, we kind of knew like we were gonna get married, and we knew we were gonna be together for a while. But when we decided, like, all right, we're gonna commit to like actually loving each other the correct way, one of the first things that we had to establish was just trust. And it's like, all right, well, I trust you, and you trust me, and I need you to trust this decision that we're going to make, that we need to make. and having a conversation like that, that made it a lot easier to say, like, all right, so obviously we both see that this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. Let's go ahead and cut it out for a little bit. Also, too, not saying anything bad about, I guess, my wife and I's sex life, but it just wasn't as enjoyable. You know, when you feel convicted, when you know, like, I don't know, something is off. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you, this isn't right. Let's just go ahead and cut it for a bit. So then we went ahead and just cut it. And it was like, okay, that was God telling us, like, yeah, this is, you're making the right decision by stopping this now.
No, I appreciate the transparency. This is the Quiet Battles podcast. This is where things get real. And if we're not real, who's being real? Yeah. So, no, I appreciate it. And I think that's important because we're going to do this fast challenge from the Quiet Battles podcast, and Dwayne's a huge advocate for it. It's changed his life, as you can hear. There's going to be people that have that issue. And I think it's so important. You just took ownership that you're like, I led us here. Yeah. And I think that's such an important thing is too often in our society, we don't take ownership for our actions. We blame others, and there's two parties involved, and two parties are making decisions. But for you to be like, well, you know, she made me do this, or you're like, no, like I led us here. And so for those listening that's in that situation, if you take ownership of this and maybe going through the fast together and reading the Bible together, and Dwayne didn't just do the fast by himself, because then I mean, otherwise you probably would have been at different ends of the spectrum. Like, you're all in for God, and she's like, where's Dwayne? Like, so maybe that's part of the challenge, is if this is your where you're at, you just do the fast together and see what God does in your life. I think that's so huge, and that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna put out a 21-day fast challenge, and as you hear, Dwayne gave up three things. He gave up sex, smoking, and sugar. And so we challenge you to give up three things. What are three things holding you back? Is it video games? Is it television? Is it sex? Is it smoking? Is it drinking? Is it gossiping? Is it a sin? Is it a hobby? What's keeping you from doing that? And just give it a try. And I think it'll change your life. I think they really go, yeah. So awesome. Very, very cool. Rodney, you have any closing words before we end this interview? Part one.
Man, I just think that this fast is an amazing idea. I've just been incredibly encouraged hearing your story about this and all that God did in and through that. And I'm just reminded of what came to my mind when you're talking about it is what Jesus says, where he's like, no one who puts the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And the whole idea of, like, if you're not ready to be all in, then you're not going to get it. Like, you can't be half in, half out. Like, you're either all in or you're not. And I'm just super encouraged to hear that you were like, I'm ready to go all in, and it's going to be hard. There's going to be difficult times, but if you're ready to be all in, like, it's what you're saying. Jesus is ready to be all in with you.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
No doubt. And we're going to give details on the fast. We're going to get more insight from Dwayne on the fast. Like you heard in this story, he didn't just do this fast and not do these things. He had spiritual disciplines he partook in. He was reading. He was worshiping. He was repenting. He was submitting. He was training. And in this fast, we're going to train. We're going to train to be more like Jesus and be transformed by Jesus and see what Jesus does. Because he can transform us if we're willing. Like Dwayne said before. So Dwayne, thank you so much for talking about this. I mean, this was amazing. I had goosebumps. It's life-changing, encouraging. And this is a video I can show my friends. I can show my family. And I hope God uses this to change lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Me too. Thank you, you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for tune into the Quiet Battles podcast for part one of this interview with Dwayne Howard. We hope that you'll tune in as we continue this conversation with Dwayne to hear all that's going on in his life and to hear more about the quiet battles that Dwayne has faced in his life. So tune in for part two of this interview.